No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tame,
tame it to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith. And we are joined by Captain Clay this week to round out the crew for Just Plane Radio today. Ed on hiatus. Or he's just had enough of us for a while and decided he would not participate in today's virtual flight through the latest aviation news and information. Is that what is going on, Keith, or what?
He's actually working.
He's working.
He's working.
What are we doing?
Well, he's working flying airplanes.
Okay, we're just working. We're actually got our nose to the pavement, to the runway, and we're here to serve the aviation community this week. Right, Clay? Does that sound noble enough for you?
It doesn't sound really noble when you're talking about having your nose to the pavement of a runway, because that means you're kissing the ground after landing, and it's really not all that scary.
Okay. All right. Well, so much for that.
That's what Greg does.
What do you mean? I don't.
No, that's what you do after flying with Greg.
That never happens because I never leave the runway. Recently, I haven't been doing any flight training, but we'll change that.
But Ed's actually training a new instructor for us today. So
is he? Okay. Yeah. So he has a valid excuse for once.
He does.
Okay. Well, that's good enough.
We do a lot of standardization training with our instructors before we turn them loose, so to speak.
Yeah. And that's a good thing. You have to set standards, high standards. Matter of fact, there's a story about a flight school, I want to say down in Fort Myers or someplace down in South Florida, that got they got an award for being, you know, like the flight training school of the year or something. Fort Myers Page Field based Paragon Flight Training got best flight school in the country award. So how many of those?
Congratulations to them.
Well, how many have you had?
I have not had any.
What? And well, maybe what Ed is doing today will lead itself to that level of expertise, I'm guessing.
Let's hope.
You don't sound very convinced. What's going on there, Keith? Come on.
No.
No, you've guys gotten some awards. Though,
yeah, we have that. We have gotten some AOPA awards and so forth. So
right.
We're doing well.
Okay. All right. And just trying to maintain that level of excellence today and letting, you know, the rest of the crew handle the day-to-day operations of Just Plane Radio, which is obviously a burden that we take on every week and try to do the best we can and usually fall far short of that.
Thanks, Clay.
All right. Have I lowered the bar low enough so we can...
function we can all go up from here.
Okay. Yes. And that's what we want to do on Just Plane Radio, of course. Now, Clay, I know you're in Wyoming today, but you're planning to do some flying, possibly to come down to Florida for Sun and Fun in April. Am I right? Is that the tentative plan?
That is the tentative plan. I'll be heading down to the Caribbean from Wyoming next month. Making a few stops along the way and hopefully hitting Sun and Fun on the way back. So yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
Well, I think we got to make this happen. Now, I was talking to him before showtime, Keith, and he had some questions about the fly-in. Now, I did this with Ed 2 years ago, and it was really right at the beginning of my flight training. So I had no idea how... Well, what I didn't understand flying into Sun and Fun, which is, what, the second largest aviation event in the U.S.? Right under Air Venture, I guess.
It is for experimental aircraft. It is.
Yeah, and there's a lot of air traffic you've got to contend with. And where I was in my flight training, I wasn't far enough along to really appreciate the headaches or potential issues. I'm thinking, what's the big deal? You fly in there, and you know, I ride along, and I, you know, Ed tells me to keep an eye out for other planes. I'm like, okay, I can do this. Seems easy enough, but he was like a nervous wreck. And I'm thinking, you know, he's like a flight instructor. He has all this experience. And here I am. I'm kicking back and enjoying the scenery. And he's like, Greg, focus. You know, focus on what's in front of you. Do you see any planes? You know, and this kind of thing. And I'm seeing his blood pressure rise. And, you know, that's starting to make me a little nervous. Like, why is this guy with so much experience worried about flying into Sun and Fun? And then as, you know, as my training progressed, then I realized, well, it's because there's so many other yeehaw planes that are flying all over the place. There's a potential of a much higher level of not danger, but of conflict with other pilots that may not be as well-versed in the system of flying into sun and fun as Ed was and I was, you think?
Well, yeah.
Well, definitely Ed, not necessarily me.
Right. And Ed,
ignorance is bliss is basically what I'm saying.
Exactly. And okay. That particular situation is, yeah.
Yeah.
Because at sun and fun, they don't use normal airport traffic patterns.
Yes,
you know,
correct.
They publish it before sun and fun,
mm-hmm.
and they have aircraft controllers, air traffic controllers, I should say, stationed outside the airport area. On a water tower, for instance, or things like that on top of a building. And as you're flying in, you know, hey, the white 172 with red on it, wag your wings.
Yeah.
You know, and just so that he knows that you're hearing him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tells you to make the turn, and you follow the guy in front of you. And it, so it really has a lot to do with being able to follow the direction given to you.
Right.
Pre-planning, just like if you're using an electronic device, pre-plan, use it, know how to use it before you get in the airplane,
mm-hmm.
know what the plan is prior to getting there.
Right. Yeah.
So, and that's why he gets nervous, because you're landing on taxiways, you're landing on runways, you're landing on certain spots on taxiways, you know, land on the green spot, and they want you to land on a green spot. If you mm-hmm. don't, somebody else is going to be landing just down the field, you may have a conflict.
And it may become a brown spot.
It may be.
Maybe. I'm just saying.
Or a grease spot.
Yeah, one of those. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, like you said, they have these, it's, you know, it's very visual way to fly in, and you got to just know what the NOTAMs are and know what the specific approach for sun and fun in Lakeland, Florida will be. And if you follow it, you're fine. But obviously, everybody's in the same boat, especially people that have never done it before. It can be a bit confusing and overwhelming if anything has changed or anything like that. But the interesting part about it, when I saw it and flew in with Ed, I was actually impressed with how organized it went. Now, maybe I was just a fluke in the time we came in, but it seemed pretty, you know, they have this down to a science.
Oh, they do. I mean, they're all air traffic controllers. Or retired air traffic controllers that volunteer their time to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, they've got it down pat as long as everybody follows the directions.
Correct.
And then it is very organized and it works well. But they do rely on the pilots to see and avoid mm-hmm. and to follow the direction. And all those short and soft field landings that we have taught you how to do.
Right.
Why do we have to land in this particular spot? Well, here's a good example of
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Other than just an emergency or landing on a short runway. Here's another example of why you need to use that.
Well, there you go.
And aiming point.
Very little chatter on the radio. They talk and you be quiet and, like you say, rock your wings and acknowledgement. And that's pretty much it.
That's all they want you to
so
do.
So as long as you can follow directions to the radio and know in advance what the approach path should be. Because like Lakeland, there's some kind of water tower I remember we have to route around. And then there's a lake or something, I believe.
Right. Depending on which way you're going in, depending on which way the winds are coming from,
yeah.
Which runway they're landing on, yes.
Well, exactly. But you can get all this stuff very easily on their website, sunandfun.org. And we're going to check in with Lights today, who's the big cheese there at Sun and Fun. He's going to come on Just Plain Radio today, give us a little preview of some of the events and things that they got coming up. It's going to be the biggest and best ever from what I'm getting, you know, via their press releases and what you see on their website, because they got some new things. With some performers that ought to be quite entertaining. So I don't know. Have I made it more difficult or less for you, Clay? What do you think?
You know, I'm still wrapping my brain around you trying to fly in when they're talking on the radio and you have to shut up and listen. And I'm wondering if that's possible.
Well, Ed was actually flying.
Yeah, and he was listening.
Okay,
and he was just trying to get Greg to just focus out the window and look for traffic.
Yeah.
You know, or somebody who wasn't following direction.
And by the way, on the way out, I did see someone. And yeah. I said, hey, there's a plan over there. He's kind of close. He's not supposed to be there, is he? And Ed goes, oh, hell no. He veered off to the other way. I was like, oh, okay. And that was the one time where, yeah, I was like, okay, could need a change of shorts, but we'll make it.
No, I'm interested in trying to fly in. I mean, I've looked at the NOTAM, and I know, I've researched. I have not done it, but I've researched flying into Oshkosh before, and it's obviously a you know, fairly similar type of procedure. So I'm looking forward to giving it a try. If I do fly in, I'll have two pilots. I'll have Keith Smith with me.
Yeah.
And, you know, as an extra eyes. And I also have, traffic display in the airplane, which will help a little bit.
Well, I'll be more than happy to ride along if you need another potential aviator with you. Yeah, or maybe just some guy. Okay. Well, maybe not. But yeah, it'll be worth the experience. It really is.
It's a lot of fun to be part of that whole deal, flying in there. Mm-hmm. And once you get close to the airport and you see everything that's going on.
It's impressive.
It's very, very impressive.
Yeah.
And so is the departure. Can't do Oshkosh? Come down here and do Sun and Fun.
There you go. More coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
This test today, it's important.
I got it. I'm going to make you look good up there. Don't worry. Okay, now let's get these pants off and fly some planes.
I'm learning to fly around the clouds.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. Also, we have Captain Clay is in Wyoming today and considering flying in for Sun and Fun in Lakeland, which happens in April. It's the, this is like the spring break for aviators. What a cool event. And we're going to be out there doing our thing at the Sunset Grill lunchtime, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, something like that. And maybe giving away a few prizes as well. Now, Lights is on the line with us. He is the big cheese behind Sun and Fun. What's the official title, Lights? Big Kahuna, CEO, which one do you prefer?
Well, most people call me El Guapo Grande, the Grand Poobah.
I like it indeed. It's very well deserved. He is running around like a madman during this event, keeping everything in check. Really, it's run so well. He's actually fairly calm every time I see him. And then maybe that's just your management style. You think, Lights, or what?
Well, no. It has nothing to do with management style. The doctor has to be heavily sedated. They're legitimate drugs, but they work really well.
Okay. They're FAA approved, evidently.
Better living.
Absolutely. I can fly at about 5 feet off the ground at the speed of a fast rabbit.
Oh, nice. I love it.
Better living through modern chemistry.
Yes. Well, whatever works.
Yes.
Yes. Now, I know we're excited for the event. I know you are, and we're going to talk about some of the events coming up at Sun and Fun this year. But first, I mean, is there anything that you could add to Clay's decision on whether or not he should fly his Piper Saratoga into Sun and Fun this year? Or what, Lights? What do you think?
Well, I tell you what. There's not a single person on the planet that shouldn't put on their bucket list more than once a trip to Sun and Fun for our International Flying and Expo, because it's without a doubt the friendliest, funnest, most enjoyable experience for any aviator to go through, because it covers the gamut from all the newest technology to the oldest aircraft, all the excitement in the air to the greatest speakers, and the warm, friendly, finest volunteer force on the planet that makes you feel like you're the king of all the guests. So I would tell him and all his friends, flying to Sun and Fun is a must.
Yes, I would agree. I did that 2 years ago with Ed, Captain Ed, and you know, last year I didn't fly in, but I went in and I literally stayed for the entire event, camped out, hung out with all the aviators in the evening at the campgrounds and that kind of thing, and that was just a blast. That was just part of the whole experience that I wanted to kind of partake in, and I think it's ideal to come in, fly in. Now, what I haven't done is fly in and done the camping under the wing kind of thing, and that's what Clay could do, right? Isn't that a cool experience in itself, or what?
Oh, it enhances everything about our fly-in, because our goal is to bring the like-minded population of America, or international, that loves aviation, help them share the experiences, both old and young, and impart that to the next generation, and do it in a really comfortable environment. So we pride ourselves in creating an environment that's conducive to folks getting together in the evenings, either around a campfire or around your campsite, and sharing those grand stories of maybe experiences in the past, or those that you might like to do from a youthful perspective, and build on your love of aviation. Now, I'll tell you, this is kind of fun. I started coming here in 1980 in a 1946 stomp. And I would stay in a motel, and then I started coming down here in my trusty F-18, and I'd stay in a hotel. Mm-hmm. And then I started coming down here in my Spearman, and my wife made me camp under the wing. And my fun meter went from 9 to 12 on a scale of 10.
Well, there
That's
you go.
How much better it is.
Yeah, and I agree. It just gives you an opportunity to really kick back and relax in the evening after a day of walking the show. Everyone's a little tired and stuff, but you know, you hang out by a fire, or there's some event going on in the campground, like a tater bake by the Recreational Aviation Foundation or something. There are all kinds of events all over the place every night. And for someone wanting to fly in like Clay and maybe camp out under the wing, what I was impressed with last year is the amenities for the campers and stuff are actually really, really nice. I mean, there's a nice infrastructure for camping out there at Sun and Fun. And, I mean, is that you're doing, or has that been in place for a long time, or what?
Well, they've had parts, bits and pieces of it, but you got to remember, I came here first as a guest, then as a performer, and now as the guy that's, you know, holding the reins and hanging on. And so I know what the public wants, because I was one of them. And so what we did is we went out there and I said, guys, these shower houses don't fit where the public lives, where the campers are. Let's move them over here. Mm-hmm. Let's take these bathrooms, these portals, and let's upscale them. Let's make them a little nicer. Let's get water out here to them. Let's get golf carts moving back and forth. And oh, by the way, let's get a shuttle bus that'll get them into town and back after 5 o'clock. Because a lot of them, you know, they want to go into town and have dinner and come back and sit around and tell stories. Well, you can't. I didn't want to rent a car. So we're providing a bus service for, I think it's like $5 a person to get you in and $5 back to the ranch here. And so I know what everybody wants. So I've made a very conscientious effort with the help of a great team we got to figure out what's best for the public, because everybody comes in here as our guest. We want you to leave happy. So how do you do that? Find out what you need and let's provide it. And that's how we do it.
Well, there you go. Clay, what do you think? Are you sold yet or what?
You know, it's a possibility. I haven't, I actually haven't camped with a plane before. You know, my big thing is not necessarily the flying in and the ability to camp and all that. But I'm from Wyoming, so I'll have to adjust my mindset about camping in general.
Yeah, the fact that you won't need a heater necessarily.
Well, that's true.
It may be a mosquito net at best. But actually, this time of year, it's beautiful right now. And sun and fun, you know, this is springtime. This is the best weather in Florida we get every year. And it's not usually too hot. It's not too cold. I mean, obviously, the weather's weather. But it can be actually spectacular temperatures in the evening and pretty much accommodate people from all over the world. You know, I think they're impressed with the weather that we have that time of year. You think they're lights or what?
Oh, well, I know so. Quite candidly, you know, the reason we have it in April is because we took a look at the Farmer's Almanac over a century of weather tracking, and guess what? The best month to do it is April. The least amount of rain, the least amount of wind, the best temperatures in the 70s, high 70s, low 80s, and it seemed like that's if you're going to put on a fly-in, why not have perfect fly-in weather? Now, I can't control that weather front up there between Texas and Ohio, mm-hmm. but everything south of Mason-Dixon line is looking nice, and that was one of the first things I changed when I got down here was they had the event was going into March. I said, whoa, dude, my buddies up there north of North Carolina ain't coming because they can't get the airplane out of the barn unfreeze it.
Yeah.
So we pushed her south and made it more applicable, and the end result was last year was the number one best attended Sun and Fun in Sun and Fun's history of 40 years. It was totally financially fantastic, and everybody walked away happy because it was a perfect time of year to do it, as well as our Southern hospitality.
Well, absolutely. Yes, it was a great event, and I was there for literally the whole week. I really kind of dived in and just enjoyed the whole event. All right, we got lights from Sun and Fun to tell us more about some of the specific events that are going to be happening at the event this year. That's coming up next, right here on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings. Can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith and Clay. We are your crew today for Just Plain Radio, and we're talking with Lights right now, who's the big kahuna, or Grand Poobah.
Grand Poobah.
He prefers from Sun and Fun that's happening in Lakeland in April. We will be there with bells on or flight wings or something. I don't know.
So, Lights, do you have a secret manual with all the rules and regulations of the Grand Poobah?
Yes, sir, I do, and it's double secret information that I can only, if I do impart it to you or you find the book, I will have to eradicate you from the planet.
It wouldn't be the first time we've been told that, so we're running from the law or someone at any given moment. We'll get it from you eventually. But, but Lights, let's talk about some of the events that are happening at Sun and Fun this year. As far as differences from what you had last year, what do you got? Or are we more the same or better or bigger?
No. We don't like to leave it the same. Nobody
right,
wants to leave
of course.
It the same. No. Good heavens. I sold the same car every year that stopped buying after year three. So what we did is we changed the game up a little bit, and we added a few things and changed the way we do business. And one of the things that's going to happen is, for the first time in the history of the United States, we are going to get to see the Breitling jet team straight to us from France. They're on site right now putting their jets together, getting ready to start their practice sessions, and the public will see them in America for the first time on April 21st. That will be our Tuesday kickoff. They'll perform Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday. Our good friends, the Thunderbirds, will come in on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Tuesday is all exclusive World Aerobatic Champion performances of those great folks that take those airplanes upside down and do the 30-some spins before they almost hit the ground and pull out.
Nice.
Then on Wednesday, we're going into all warbirds, military aircraft. Right now, I've got a Jenny for World War I. It's going to be flying on Wednesday, along with the Texas Flying Legends. And, oh, by the way, for the first time in Sun and Fun's history, we'll have not only one of the three flying Japanese Zeros, but the B-24 that was highlighted, as you well know, in the movie Unbroken. That'll be Wednesday. Thursday is all formations. It'll be multiples of 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. upward to 12 airplanes in formation.
A lot of great stuff indeed. You can go to sun-fun.org and get the entire list of activities. Lights, always a pleasure. We'll check in with you again before the event, okay, my friend?
Thank you very much, gentlemen. You all have a great weekend. We'll see you on the 21st 8th.
You got it. More coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
To know me is to fly with me. This is where I live.
Fly away, fly away. As some bird can take us away.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. And rounding out today's crew, I think he's controlling the left aileron. That would be Captain Clay. Or is it the right aileron?
On a radio show.
Wait, what's that?
Third wheel on a plane show.
Yeah, third wheel. I'm the nose gear, I think. Am I?
No, you and Keith are the main gear. I'm the nose wheel.
Okay, if you say so. We'll just go with what we got. Yeah, they have no choice. They got to take this crew, whether they like it or not. And you know.
Whether we like it or not?
No.
Or whether you like it or not?
No, the people listening. Oh. You know, they're listening like, what? This is what we have to work with? Yes, it is. That's what you get for a free ride, my friends. Anyway, all right, let's focus on some other stuff. Some aviation news and information crossed my desk this week. And once again, I had one of those, they're doing what kind of moments. And I see this press release about Alton Bay. And I don't know, Clay, you're familiar with this place. Lake what? What is it?
Lake Winnipesaukee.
Yes. And they have a runway on a block of ice. So they like the cold weather up there because they've set up a wintertime airport, I guess, on the lake. Is this normal? Is this something you guys have experienced or you just know about it or what?
Well, I've actually never been up there. I've heard about it for years, and I used to live in Connecticut. But never made it up there at that point. But it's something I'm not sure how long they've been doing it, but I've been hearing about it every year for years, and it's often only open for a few weeks a year, from what I understand.
Yeah,
some years it never opens.
Well, and, okay,
it's big news in the pilot community there when it does, because they something to.
Well, landing on ice does not sound like the ideal type of landing strip to make. Keith?
Well, if the temperature's high 20s, low 30s,
yeah,
the answer then would be no, for sure not. But when the temperature drops down to zero or below,
yeah,
ice actually has quite a bit of friction to it.
Really? So you're saying that it's not as slick as you would think,
right,
ice to be?
Correct.
Well, and why is that? Because it's like all chewed up and like jaggedy or something, or what?
Yeah, and it just doesn't have those slippery qualities. I'm not sure what the scientific, technical, whatever term for it is, but even ice on the roads is not near as slippery when it gets really cold out.
Interesting.
Yeah, when it warms up and it has a thin layer of water on the top, especially during the day, obviously that's when it gets.
That's when we get like into black ice and stuff like that. You mean, or just like real slippery stuff?
Well, just real slippery.
Well, I guess in Alaska, that's what those folks have to deal with all the time then, right?
Well, not all the time, but quite often, yeah.
Yeah.
Certainly a lot more than what they would hear.
Yeah, but landing on a ice sheet just doesn't sound logical. I mean, maybe it's fun, like you're doing donuts in your neighbor's front yard, on a late Friday night kind of deal. I mean, maybe that's just me. I mean, but that doesn't happen. They're just using this as a regular airport, and they do it because they have the space to create this runway. Yeah,
and I think it is a runway. It's not an area, too, which always made me wonder if there's a significant crosswind component, how that would work.
Yeah. Well, it would just blow you to one side of the lake or the other, I guess, wouldn't it? Yeah. Or into a snowbank.
Snowbank, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that wouldn't be good.
That's not good.
Now, when you fly into this, are you supposed to pack, ice skates or something to skate up to the FBO, I guess? Or maybe just do a few. Maybe that's what you do. Instead of a $100 hamburger, you're flying in and you're supposed to do some figure eights, pillar wets.
No,
I don't think we're talking Yeah. I don't think we're talking about very, very slippery ice. You ever watch shows like Ice Road Truckers and all the, you know, the trucks that go up in Northern Canada?
And the where they're insane, people behind the wheel, and
Yeah, we're talking that kind of thing.
Okay. So they're just doing this because it's there, be kind of fun, and mark it off the list kind of deal.
Which is why, if the temperature doesn't drop down.
It's a free flat spot.
It's a free flat spot. Okay.
Yeah. And if the temperature doesn't go down, that's why it doesn't open every year, like Clay said.
Well, of course, I can understand that. Or maybe, I don't know, how do they judge that is the question. The first plane that doesn't really ends up cracking through some of that ice. Yeah, time to shut her down.
No.
Now, what they do is they start out, they figure out the where they're going to put the runway, and they sweep it off by hand, and then they land a cub on there, and then they land something a little bit bigger on there until one sinks, then they decide that's the limit.
Yeah, and you don't want to be that guy, I'm guessing. Yeah. but it does sound like fun. But you've never done that either, Keith.
No. I've landed on some runways that have been pretty slippery and icy, but not – intentionally landing on a nice runway.
Okay, so what you're telling me, though, just so I'm clear, so even in a domestic carrier, like, you know, I'm getting ready to do some flying up north to New York next week, if it's down at like 0 degrees, that's going to be better as opposed to, say, like 30-ish, where it's slushy and stuff.
Definitely. Well, you won't have to worry about it anyway.
Slushy is a different story.
Okay, yeah, it needs to be hard ice.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got ice that's 25 degrees and the sun's on it and there's a little thin layer of water on top, that is hugely slippery. If you've got ice that's been sitting overnight at, 0 degrees or 10 below or whatever, whatever the case might be, you should have, some pretty good traction.
Well, I go back to that airliner that slid off the runway off in California, right? It was California? Or where was that? No, that wasn't California. Where was it? The one that flew the Delta flight.
That was LaGuardia.
Yeah, LaGuardia, right.
But that wasn't ice. That was snow.
That was snow. So snow is worse than ice.
Can be.
Well, see, now I'm all confused.
It all depends on the temperature.
Yeah.
It all depends on the temperature.
So, but the colder it is, you're saying, the better.
Yeah. But keep in mind, when you've got a lot of snow that's packing up on a runway.
Yeah.
Have you ever driven in snow?
Yeah, I grew up in Ohio.
Okay, so you know how the snow gets packed down underneath the tires of your car.
Right.
And it causes less traction. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened to the Delta flight. As it landed, they were just on too much snow, and they couldn't get enough traction to get the airplane stopped.
Okay, all right. So as long as it's not snowing and it's colder, that's better than warmer with snow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Just wondering.
Drive payment is
ideal. This whole landing on ice sheets just doesn't sound appealing, and we're getting away from that now with the springtime and stuff. So that's good. You look forward to things like sun and fun.
Yeah,
I mean, this is right now here in Florida, where we're based out of in Orlando. This is the best weather every year. I think it's just phenomenal weather, and in this great flying weather too. I mean, because the winds aren't like crazy right now. Either, are they?
No, they're not.
So
they can be, but no, it's usually pretty nice. And it's really nice in the morning. Afternoon starts to get a little bit bumpy here.
Yeah.
But
other than that, it's the time to be down here flying around. Yeah. Great, just perfect temperatures. You're not too hot out on the runway, and it's nice and sunny a lot of times. So you'll love this. You got to come down here and play here, Clay. I mean, you're looking forward. It won't be like hot, like you're hot and sticky in summer down in the Caribbean. It's going to be perfect right now. So you got to come.
I'm hoping so. You know, it's supposed to be 65 degrees here today. So spring has sprung in Wyoming.
Wow. Okay,
and,
that's not too
just
bad.
Warm enough to be pleasant, and not so warm that you get a lot of thermal activity that bounces you around too much.
Yeah. Now, your route, you're planning to fly down through the Caribbean and then do a loop back and maybe come to Lakeland. Is that what your tentative plans are or thinking?
Yeah, I've got to go to Savannah, and then I've got to go down to Provo, Providenciales, and the Turks and Caicos.
Yeah.
And take a bunch of stuff down there and then turn around, and I'll be on the boat there for 3-4 days and then turn around and come back and hit sun and fun, and then go back up to Savannah.
Now, you realize how many people are listening right now and like cursing your name in vain. He has to fly down to Providenciales and the Turks and Caicos and stay on a boat for 4 days.
When they're still shoveling
well,
out.
And actually, this will be good because for the first time in a while, the boat's not going to be at the dock. We'll actually be out diving. So
oh, okay.
I might actually get some diving in.
No, yeah. You're talking. Yeah, he usually has to just go in there, fly parts in, and work on them, or have his buddy there, Keith, install them while he sits there with like a whip or something, like, get it done! Something like that, right, Clay?
Yeah, it depends on the day. Sometimes it's a whip. Sometimes it's a vodka tonic.
for you, but not for him, right?
Oh, yeah.
You can't have one until you're done.
Yeah, Keith gets the bottle. Clay gets the glass and ice and the cocktail. But yeah, it's that sounds like a fun little trek. So, you know, to finish it off at Sun and Fun, and you'll just have a blast. And I think you ought to do the camping under the wing thing. You know, that's what... You know, Lights did kind of reiterate that part to me. And I remember I told you that the other day there, Clay, if you were flirting with doing this, we were talking about, you know, if he came in, should he go stay in Tampa or Orlando and just commute in every day? I said, you could do that, sure. I said, but after last year of camping for a week out there, that was just kind of a cool experience. You don't necessarily have to do the whole week, but do a night or two.
Well,
I'm thinking about it. I'll have to see what kind of space I've got. I've got to carry something like 250 pounds worth of stuff down to Provo, so I'm going to be a little bit weight limited.
You have a tent, right, Keith?
Yep.
We could all share.
Yep.
We don't want to do that, do we?
Look at this. I got a tent I'll let them use.
Okay. Not share. Just want to clarify. All right. More coming up.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
What's the flight situation? Simple. There's no way on earth we're going to get out of here tonight. We'd have more luck playing pickup sticks with our butt cheeks than we will getting the flight out of here before daybreak.
I'm going to fly. I'm going to fly. I'm going to fly.
Hi there, Bob Hoover here. You are listening to Just Plane Radio. Here's Greg, your co-pilot, and some other folks.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. Me and him are close personal friends. He might be at Sun and Fun in Lakeland this year. You think, Keith? He would show up there before many times.
Oh, he's been there many, many, many times.
Yeah, I don't know. He's getting up there, though, so I'm not sure he'll make it this year. But me and him, we're close buds. I'll shoot him a shout-out on Facebook. I'm sure he's on there somewhere. That's how close we are.
As close as you and some of the other acting friends from Sharknado 3, right?
Well, that's right. Actually, just last week, I met the guys from Duck Dynasty.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I was at Universal Studios in line for Harry Potter ride and saw Jep from Duck Dynasty, went up to him and said, I love the show, keep it up. And he said, appreciate it. And obviously now we're close personal friends. That's how it works, right, Clay?
In your world? Yeah, yeah.
In my world, correct. Correct. Now, during the commercial break, Keith made a comment to Clay about the tent, that if you lend him a tent for Sun and Fun, you said, what? Don't let me set it up?
Yes.
What? What was wrong? You just didn't appreciate my technique of setting up these tents.
Oh, yes, I did appreciate it, to the point where we took a video of it and put it on our website, because the tent actually ended up on top of Greg.
I am tent man. Watch me march.
And so I was just commenting on the fact that if you could actually spend a whole week camping,
mm-hmm.
as green as you are in terms of camping, then yes.
Well, you're supposed to be green when you're camping. That's just environmentally correct,
well,
or something.
Well, you certainly were.
Yeah. But no, I just picked up my tent, hoisted it over my shoulders and all over my entire self. I walked around and shook it up to get all the debris out of it. It had some like leaves and, you know, goo in there that had to be cleared out.
No, that was the part that goes against the ground, and you're supposed to climb inside that.
Well, but this was just a fast way to, you know, get it
situated.
Watch
the video on the website,
mm-hmm.
and you'll see.
That was deleted a long time ago, Keith.
Yeah.
This is all rumor and innuendo. But if you do happen to stumble across a viral video called Tent Man, well, I'll take credit for it if it has, you know, to a certain extent. From a, you know, add it to my acting resume. Just look at it from that standpoint. Anyway, you know, there is some other news and information I wanted to delve into a little bit. Malaysia flight 370. Yeah, okay. So, you know, they still haven't found that plane, but it did spark a lot of discussion, especially in the mainstream media, about flight tracking and why isn't this, you know, already taking place and is mandatory around the world, ADS-B, whatever the case may be. Well, it looks like a company in flight is well on its way to finally making a some kind of tracking device that if it gets tampered with, it will immediately squawk a code or squawk an emergency to you know, let ground monitors know that there's a problem. So if it's being tampered with, they'll have some kind of tracking mechanism built in. I don't know if it says anything about the price of this thing, but, you know, it, unfortunately, I guess from a good thing that because of an accident like that, or we don't know what happened, maybe it won't happen in the future because technology will finally catch up, you think?
Well, most of the advances that have happened in aviation have been because somebody gave their life in order for that advance to happen. If you look at the GPWIS, the ground proximity warning systems, it has multiple different functions on it now, and each one of those functions became from another accident that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is another instance where somebody has taken it and said, well, hey, maybe we can do something about that, and capitalized on that. Yes, those people gave their lives for it, but hopefully it'll save a whole lot more in the future.
Yeah. So, you know, we learn from mistakes, I guess.
We do.
And hopefully that'll be a long-term good thing, if any good could come out of a tragedy like that. But that's good to see. And now you mentioned this other thing with the landing too close. What? Where to flare or something? What do you mean? That code you just threw out there to make you sound more, you know, smarter than you really are.
Ground proximity warning system.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's not necessarily about landing too close.
Mm-hmm.
It's it will do that as well.
I'm glad I amuse you, Clay.
Yes, but if you're getting too close to mountainous terrain or any kind of obstacles, or if your descent rate is too fast,
yeah,
some
it will alert.
It'll alert you to it.
It'll yell at you, warning, warning.
That well, it depends on which it. Phase of flight.
Might just be a buzzer.
No, it's if you're descending too rapidly, it'll say descent rate.
Okay.
Or if your bank angle is too great, bank angle.
Well, in there one that I've seen by watching, what it was AOPA Live, maybe Tom Haines was doing some flight simulator stuff, and if he made his angle of attack too high, the rudder would shake. electronically as a warning, like you're getting close.
That's a stick shaker. That's not a rudder shaker.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, take that and change it, and that'll be correct.
Yes. Yeah, it's a stick shaker, yeah. And it's warning you that you're getting close to the critical angle of attack at the aircraft could
But that's an electronic sensor that's setting that off. That's not the plane itself.
Right.
Because we would feel that in the Cessna 172 that I'd be learning, right?
You should be able to feel it in a large aircraft as well. You'll get a buffet.
Well, so then why would you need the stick shaker?
To warn you.
Before it actually does the...
Because if you're in turbulence or something like that, you may not feel the buffet.
Ah, I got it.
So
okay.
So it's a backup system.
All right. You wouldn't feel the buffet.
Because you don't feel as much of a buffet as you would in a 172.
Okay, and that's because you have your headphones not turned up high enough with Margaritaville?
It could be.
Okay, yeah. That could be part of it.
Yes.
All right, and I guess that's enough nonsense for one show?
Yes.
That's what I do.
Let's change the subject.
Well, go figure. We're out of time. And on that note, we'll end it. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.